A Matter of Spirit is the quarterly justice journal of the Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center. This article appeared in the fall 2018 issue on ethical decision-making. Doing Ethics by Kirk O. Hansen. Kirk O. Hansen is a senior fellow and was executive director of the Markkula Center for Applied Ethics at Santa Clara University from 2001 to 2018. He was a senior lecturer in business ethics at the Stanford Graduate School of Business for 23 years and John Courtney Murray S.J. University Professor of Social Ethics at Santa Clara University for 17 years. Americans are engaged in a national debate about ethics. We recoil from some behaviors of our government leaders. We debate whether our own bishops have acted ethically in their handling of abuse cases. We agonize over the question of whether a youthful indiscretion by a Supreme Court candidate is disqualifying. We are particularly troubled by a worldwide mood that is less compassionate toward refugees and immigrants, but are perplexed ourselves about the precise balance of welcoming immigrants and protection of our borders required by ethics. What is ethics? What is ethics, then? How do we identify standards of ethical behavior that can guide our own decisions and those of our congregations and organizations? And how do we use these ethical standards when we confront personal decisions and policy choices, as well as social and economic patterns we consider unjust? Ethics is the identification and use of moral standards of behavior to guide our decisions and actions. Ethical standards are those that promote human welfare, though we must recognize that not everyone will agree on how to define human welfare. Some will say being free of government coercion and taxation, is the definition of human welfare. Others would say having basic food, clothing, shelter, education, health care, and the freedom to practice one's religion is the core of human welfare. Even if we agree on a definition of human welfare, we may disagree on the most effective policies and actions to achieve that condition. And we can disagree over whether it is our specific obligation to try to address a particular need. Ethics is also the study of standards of behavior that apply to each of us in the particular roles we play in life. I may have specific ethical obligations as a teacher that others do not have. A bishop may have ethical obligations to the faithful in a particular diocese that another bishop or layperson does not have. A doctor working in a hospital may have an ethical obligation to serve that institution and its patients that transcends her belief that she also has an ethical obligation to serve those in Africa with no access to health care. What ethics is not. To define ethical standards that serve human welfare, let's first dispose of what ethics is not. Ethics is not just what makes us feel good, though ethical action will indeed sometimes give us a good feeling. Similarly, situations which make us feel uncomfortable are not always an indication that there is an ethical wrong or that we must act to alleviate the situation. Ethics is also not just religion, although most religions do advocate high ethical standards. Despite those standards, however, religions do not always equip us well for the distinctly modern ethical choices we face. Ethics is certainly not just following the law or culturally accepted norms. Law lags behind and sometimes frustrates important ethical standards. Some cultures enshrine racism, sexism, and ethnic hatred in their laws. Ethics is also not science. The fact that we can do something does not mean we should do it. Advances in biotechnology and artificial intelligence are wonders, but could also be horrors. To act ethically, we have two major tasks. The first is to define our own ethical principles and standards, and the second is to do the hard work of applying those principles and standards to often very complex situations. Sources of Ethical Principles. Catholics study the ethical sayings of Jesus and the authors of the scriptures for ethical principles. However, as noted before, these and other authoritative sources must be interpreted and applied in the context of the society in which we live today. We also can and should study how humans throughout history, both the learned and the less sophisticated, have answered the question, how shall we live? Our thoughtful forebearers have identified 5 standards for ethical behavior. These are the utilitarian standard. The most common sense answer to what is ethical is that which enhances human welfare most, assuming we can agree on what human welfare is and what increases it. Few actions have only good or bad effects, however, so we are usually seeking the action whose positive effects on human welfare are greatest and whose negative effects are least. The ethics of warfare and humanitarian intervention struggle with this balance every time an intervention is proposed. Should the United States invade Syria? Should we have sent U.S. troops into Rwanda to stop genocide? The rights approach. Much of modern ethics has been built on the concept of human rights. Those rights every human being should enjoy simply because they are human. In 1946, a committee led by Eleanor Roosevelt wrote the United Nations Declaration on Human Rights, an extraordinary document that has served our global world well. Yet, even this document is criticized by some. It mixes negative rights, don't imprison me unjustly, with positive rights, I have a right to food, clothing, shelter. Every person has a duty not to violate my negative rights, but who has the responsibility to provide me with adequate food and health care? The fairness or justice approach. From the Greeks forward, a principle of justice has been a core idea of ethics. Human beings ought to be treated equally, or if not equally, then by some standard of deference we recognize as fair. We embrace the idea that some employees may be paid more than others, but we may simultaneously believe in a minimum wage. We may embrace a standard of social justice that demands equal access to health care. We may believe in a justice standard known as preferential option for the poor that would require every social structure to favor the poorest and least advantaged. Others may believe in a fairness standard that rejects affirmative action and rigorously enforces equal treatment. The common good approach. Greek philosophers also contributed the ethical principle that life in community is part of human welfare, though they limited access to males and citizens. Catholic philosophers have advocated an ethical concept of the common good that recognizes that society needs conditions. In the local community, the nation state, even the global community, that enhances the welfare of all. Among the goods often included in the common good are the rule of law, effective and non-discriminatory policing, a public education system, and so on. Actions which contribute to and enhance the quality of these common goods are seen as ethical. The virtues approach. One of the most ancient approaches to ethics has been to define the virtues or behaviors which are considered to meet the highest ideals of human existence, of our humanity. These virtues are dispositions or habits which lead individuals to do the right thing, even in the face of pressure to do otherwise. Philosophers have often slightly differing lists of these core values, but among them are honesty, courage, compassion, generosity, tolerance, love, fidelity, fairness, self-control, and prudence. An ethical action is one that hews most closely to these virtues. The problem, of course, is that the virtues sometimes will conflict in particular situations. It may be impossible to be generous to all or at all times. Compassion may conflict with equal treatment. Making ethical choices. Doing ethics requires the hard work of understanding our own set of ethical values and principles, drawn from all of these sources, as well as scriptures and from our Catholic tradition of theological ethics. This is a task not just for each of us individually, but also for our congregations and institutions and communities. We talk about the values and charisms of our congregations, the values and mission of Catholic schools and colleges and social institutions. Today, we are even talking about the ethical values of businesses and of local villages. Built into the culture of every organization or community is a set of ethical values which guide its behavior. In confronting any particular ethical choice, an individual decision maker or congregation will draw on its many ethical principles and values. It often takes time and deep discernment to identify how several ethical principles and values apply to a particular choice, and people of goodwill can disagree, both because how they prioritize their values may not be exactly the same, but also because they disagree on what effects a particular policy or action will produce. Will a demonstration on behalf of an oppressed minority turn violent? Will the demonstration lead government to change its policy or instead to double down on its repression? As hinted earlier, how one defines their role will also have an impact on how they resolve ethical dilemmas. If I define my role as a teacher to be limited to doing my best in the classroom, I may believe I should not engage my students in discussions of their personal problems. If I have a more expansive view of my teaching role, I may believe I should be a mentor in all things to my students. How I define my role as a father may influence how much I do for my own family versus how much I do philanthropically for the poor in my community. Doing ethics is complex and not for the bystander. Doing ethics well is critical to our increasingly complex world and to the communities to which we belong. A framework for ethical decision making. Recognize an ethical issue. 1. Could this decision or situation be damaging to someone or to some group? Does this decision involve a choice between good and bad alternative, or perhaps between two goods or between two bads? 2. Is this issue about more than what is legal or what is most efficient? If so, how? Get the facts. 3. What are the relevant facts of the case? What facts are not known? Can I learn more about the situation? Do I know enough to make a decision? 4. What individuals and groups have an important stake in the outcome? Are some concerns more important? Why? 5. What are the options for acting? Have all the relevant persons and groups been consulted? Have I identified creative options? Evaluate alternative actions. 6. Evaluate the options by asking the following questions. Which option will produce the most good and do the least harm? The utilitarian approach. Which option best respects the rights of all who have a stake? The rights approach. Which option treats people equally or proportionately? The justice approach. Which option best serves the community as a whole, not just some members? The common good approach. Which option leads me to act as the sort of person I want to be? The virtue approach. Make a decision and test it. 7. Considering all these approaches, which option best addresses the situation? 8. If I told someone I respect or told a television audience which option I have chosen, what would they say? Act and reflect on the outcome. 9. How can my decision be implemented with the greatest care and attention to the concerns of all stakeholders? 10. How did my decision turn out, and what have I learned from this specific situation? Source: Markula Center for Applied Ethics at Santa Clara University.